It's not enough to just know the word. It's important to decree the word. Now, if you've been here any time at all, you know that we believe in this principle of speaking the word and declaring what the word says. In fact, the Bible says, we shall declare a thing and it will be established. Now, what we should be declaring is what the word says. Not what the circumstances say, not what our body says, not what our feelings says, but speak what the Word of God says. You know, I know that healing belongs to me, but I still have to believe for it. I still have to claim it. You say, are you that claim it and name it group? Well, I don't know any other way to put it. If I'm going to decree and say what the word says, I guess that's what I'm doing, because I'm going to name that sickness and I'm going to command it to leave and I'm going to claim healing in my body. So if it's name and claim, so be it. Don't judge me, because the Bible says, say what the word says. And so if I know healing belongs to me, bless my little heart, you know, I can't blame God if I'm not speaking the word over my body. Psalms 107 verse 2. I don't have time for you all to turn to the Bible this morning, so just keep your eyes up here. I'm sorry if you think you can keep up with me, go ahead, but we're going to move quickly today. Psalms 107 and 2. Let the redeemed. We got any redeemed folks in the church today? I need an amen. Any redeemed church? Any redeemed people in the church? Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. Can you say so? Not so. Say what the Lord has redeemed us from. I'm redeemed from alcohol. I'm redeemed from foul language. I'm redeemed from fornication. I'm redeemed from pornography. I'm redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it. Say it. We must decree it. One translation says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. I like that, don't you? Let the redeemed. You got a story to tell, Steve? Let the redeemed of the Lord. Here's another translation. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Speak out. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if I know I've been redeemed and I know my body is not been redeemed and my body is attacked with bacteria, sickness, germs, whatever I'm attacked with, I know that my body is not redeemed, so I have to speak to my body what the word says. Let the redeemed, that's me, say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, and no weapon formed against me will prosper. I just can't think it up here in my noggin, folks. Now, how many knows God can read your thoughts, but the devil can't? I said, the devil can't read your thoughts, but Jesus can, God can. And you can think I'm healed all day long, and God says, yes, I agree with you. Yes, you are. But how many knows he's not the one bringing the sickness? Somebody shout amen. Amen. Now, oh, let's look at Psalms 91. Let's throw this up there, Brother Blakey. Psalms 91, verse 2. I will say, come on, I will say, say it with me, I will say. I will say. Come on, everybody try it. I will say. Of the Lord, he is my refuge. Hush. He is my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Notice the first three words. I will say. I will say. Notice the next line. Surely he shall. When does he shall? After we say. We say he shall. Amen. Y'all see that this morning. We say what he says, and he shall do what he said he will do. He's just waiting for the believers to say something and to get in agreement with his word. So I believe I'm required to say something before I get what I need from the Lord. Amen? So, my part is what? Declare the word. His part is what? Confirm the word. Brother, I don't know who you are. You're not Rob's dad, are you? Are you really? You're from New Orleans. I want to hear your accent. I'll just say I would praise the Lord I had a stroke. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Ha ha, good. Woo! What a testimony. Yeah. Yeah. He even drove after the stroke all the way from New Orleans up here to Farmington. Rob said, Dad, you shouldn't be driving. Dad says, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Leave me alone, son. You see, we have the easy part, folks. All we have to do is what? Say it. Isn't that so easy? Just say it, and he do it. We say it. He's got the hard part. He's got the, and it's not hard for him, but he's got the part. We just say it, we believe it, and then he does it. Isn't that good? Now, with all that in mind, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture out of the book of 1 Kings. I'm going to read about 8 verses here. We're going to begin at verse number 5. I am reading from the NIV. If you don't agree with that translation, turn to one that you do like, because we have a lot of choices these days. But I am reading from the NIV this morning. I don't always do that, but I chose that one today. So we're going to begin at verse number 5. Listen as I read quickly. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give to you. Isn't that something? Ask me whatever it is you want me to give to you. Listen, that was God asking a man. Okay, Solomon said, you've shown great kindness to your father, my father David. He was faithful. Wait, just a minute, Solomon. David was faithful? He was a righteous man? Come on, folks. Wasn't this the guy that had a baby? I don't know if he's out of wedlock or if they got married by then, but anyway, he had a murder, he had a baby, and all this. Listen, and Solomon says, he was faithful. He was righteous. He was upright in heart. Don't that tell you something about the forgiveness of the Lord? That's even Old Testament. You've continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on the throne this very day. Now, my Lord God, you've made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a child. Underline that, highlight it, remember it, don't forget it. In fact, just say it with me. I am only a child. We'll come back to that. And do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart. Here's what he asked for, a discerning heart. I want a discerning heart to govern your people, to pastor this church. God, you know I need it. To distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, how many knows God's getting ready to throw a little blessing on top of his answered prayer? I want to show you the difference this morning between a blessing and the favor. Okay? We just throw them together, don't we? We ask the blessing and the favor of the Lord. I want to show you the difference in the blessing of the Lord and the favor of the Lord. God said, since you've asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, you've not asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administrating justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a, this excites me so much I can hardly stand still, give you wise and discerning heart so that there will never be anyone like you nor ever will be. Moreover, everybody say moreover. I don't know what your translation says, but moreover, more than that, in addition to that, I will give you what you have not asked for. Does this do anything for anybody? Well, you say, well, that was okay for Solomon. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Solomon, we're kids of God, aren't we? Aren't we the children of God? I said, are we the children of God today? Doesn't he say whatever you ask for in the New Testament? Okay, let's go on. I'm getting ahead of myself. Whatever, I will give you what you have not asked for, wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. You will be the wisest man on earth. You will be the wealthiest man on earth. But I am a child. Now listen to this. I had to look this up because it kind of threw me. The rabbinical tradition says that Solomon was 12 years old when he asked this question. Have you thought about that? Yeah, Jewish tradition says that Solomon became king at 12. Can you imagine this kind of a prayer at 12 years old? You know what my 12-year-old would be asking for? Xbox. PlayStation. Okay, let's go on. They place him around 12 or 13. Now, historical scholarship says he was probably about 20 or 25 years old. Many historians argue that Solomon was a young adult and not a child. But what I'm saying is, Terry and Roy, he could have been 12 years old when he made this request to God. Because there's no evidence that he wasn't, because there's about three or four opinions that say, yes, he was 12 or he was 20 or 22. It doesn't matter. He was a young man, and he was asking God for wisdom to be the greatest king of 12 tribes over Israel that had so many people that he couldn't even number them. Listen, can you imagine a young man asking for something like that? I looked this up last night because most 12-year-old kids probably would, want skinny jeans or designer tennis shoes or something like that. And I found out that there's a tennis shoe made by Amiri designer tennis shoes that cost $1,500. Oh, that's nothing. How about Christian Louboutin? $3,300 for a pair of their tennis shoes. Lou, go get your wife a pair of those right after church today. Solomon said, all I want is wisdom to govern this ministry that you've given me. And God says, I'm going to give you that, but I'm also giving you riches that you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you honor that you didn't ask for. There's not going to be another king like you. And how many knows the Queen of Sheba came to his place and found out that this truly was a man that had it all, right? And so I believe Jesus was the wisest man that ever walked the earth. But in this time, when this book was written, Solomon became the wisest man in the world. So here, now you think, well, that's pretty good. God really blessed him. But he didn't stop there. He goes a little bit further. Look at verse 14. Drop all the way down to verse 14. He says, and, now this is a conditional promise. This is a conditional promise. And if you will walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you long life. Lord, the only thing I want is wisdom. That's all I'm asking for is wisdom. I want to know bad from good. I want to know right from wrong. And God says, because you didn't ask for the death of your enemies, how many knows that's what we would have prayed for, right? God, kill those enemies before they kill us. Lord, take away their livestock and give it to us. You know, that's the way some of us modern 21st centuries. But God says, I'm going to give you some stuff that you didn't ask for, Brother Sue. Have you ever had God give you something you didn't ask for? You know what that is? That's called the favor of the Lord. Amen. The favor of the Lord. So here's what I want to do in the next few minutes. I know it's 11:22, so I'm gonna do my best. I want you to see that God wants to help us change our lives. God wants to change some things in our life. Amen. I want to hear God say, I want to give you some things you didn't even ask for. Wow, thank you for your enthusiasm. This is only for those that say amen. I'll come back tonight when nobody's here and preach it. Now, here's the thing. Regardless of what God said, there will be times of testing. God may have said, I'm going to do this, 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 and that, but it doesn't mean that the times of testing your faith are not going to be there. We will all have times of test. I believe we're going to see, do we have staying power or do we have giving up tendencies? Here's one. Think about this. Can you stand when you don't understand? Think about it. Can you stand when you don't understand? Can you pray when there's a delay? talking about the blessings and the favor of the Lord. Now, I want you to look around this morning. Look around. I know we've got a few empty seats, but there's some full ones here. Look at somebody in a seat, and I want you to notice there is potential in this building today. There is more potential in this building than you can ever dream or think about. There is potential in this place. Every person sitting in one of these mauve-colored, ugly seats that need to be replaced are because they don't match. Anyway, y'all have potential. Everybody in here has potential. But I'll tell you something else. Becky, there are some people in here that will never unlock the potential that God has given them. Isn't that sad? God has given us potential. Do you know God spoke to Tiffany at a ladies' conference over a year ago, and God began to reveal to her what he's put inside of her, and all she had to do was say yes, and from that time on, her potential is beginning to blossom more and more. Every week we're seeing more because she said yes to the potential that was on the inside of her. God's looking for somebody that'll just say yes. Yes, I will, Lord. I will, I will, I will. So when I think about the favor of God, and I think about the ability of God, and I think about the potential that's inside of us, I think about this. I wrote this down word for word so that I wouldn't stretch the truth. In 1971, a little boy was born in South Africa. His family wasn't known for anything. He had two siblings, a brother and a sister. But at the age of 9 in South Africa, his mom and dad decided to get a divorce. He chose to go live with his dad because his dad said, if you'll come and live with me, I'll buy you a set of encyclopedias and a computer. So the boy went to live with his dad. According to his own written testimony, he said about his upbringing, my environment was deeply unhappy and abusive. I suffered bullying every day of my life, both physical and mental. One day at school, the bullying got so aggressive by the bigger kids that they picked him up and threw him down a set of a flight of stairways. Actually put him in the hospital for a long period of time. He was tormented by bullies until his late teen years. Every day, people would come to him and say, I wish you were dead. You're weird. You're crazy. You're a nobody. You're strange. Now, this is a person that's destined to be a loser if they listen to what everybody says and not to what God has put on the inside of them. Every one of you, listen, saved or not saved, God has put something on the inside of you. God has given you gifts. God has given you talents. God has given you potential. And you can listen to the gainsayers, how they say that you're weird, you're crazy, you'll never amount to it. Listen, you can listen to that, or you can follow that gut feeling that you've got on the inside of you. Up to his teenage years, he faced that every day along with physical abuse. Not only escape from the ruthless world, his only escape was from reading. He fell in love with reading. Think about this. He read so much that by the time he graduated from high school, he had memorized the whole set of the book of encyclopedias that his dad gave him. Anybody remember the book of encyclopedia? What was it, like 10, 20 volumes? It would stand up this high, wouldn't it? Memorized it. At the age of 17, he moved to Canada to be with his mother. It was at that point that they found out something was wrong with this child. They diagnosed him with Asperger's syndrome, which is a type of autism. He had already developed a computer program on his own at the age of 12 and his first self-development video, and he sold it to PC Magazine for $500. He came to America and spent 2 days at Stanford University. How many knows that's regarded as one of the most prestigious universities in the nation or the world? After 2 days, he quit. He said, this is not for me. So here's an autistic child from a broken home, horrible surroundings, abusive upbringing, bullied every day of his life till his late teens into his young adulthood. They found he had issues with communication, issues with social skills, issues with identifying with what we call emotions and feelings. We can relate to that, can't we? The three of us can relate to that. Somebody says, I'll tell you what he is. He's a loser. He's destined to be just another story of disaster. There's nothing to him, and everything about his life is negative. However, he's still alive today, and I'd like to show you the picture. He's 54 years old. His net worth was estimated Friday. Listen, his estimated worth Friday was $839 billion. However, today he is the first trillionaire in the world. As of Friday or Saturday, he has become the first trillionaire in the world, the richest person in the world. You know what? When they were throwing him down those steps, when they were telling him he's just a, you know, four-eyed monster, you know what? Inside of him, I think he might have felt, there's something inside of me that's bigger than this. There's something inside of me. I don't know if it was to be a billionaire or a millionaire or successful, but I feel like Elon Musk must have had something on the inside of him that was pressing him to do more than what they said was on the inside of him. There's a man that's got the favor of God on his life. I said he has the favor of God on his life. Can you see what could God do with us if we would just get the favor of God on our life? God blessed Solomon. God favored Solomon. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and you're just satisfied with a little blessing now and then, and you know, every 3 months I get a little blessing, and that's all I need, just a little blessing. If that's you, then you know. So be it. But I think there's people in this church that have something inside their gut that says, I was designed and I was built and I was made for more than what I am right now. There's more inside of me. There's more potential than I'm letting be released right now. There's a lot on the inside of mine. God's got stuff for me that I've never even asked for. You didn't ask God for that potential. He put it on the inside of you. Am I boring anybody today? Please say no. You'll find the favor of God throughout the whole Bible. And listen, I'll tell you something about, I'm going to show you the difference between a blessing and the favor of God. But you'll find the favor of God throughout the whole Bible. Let me just list a few of them. It didn't take me long. Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, Samuel, Mary, David, Esther, Daniel, Zacharias, and the Bible even says Jesus grew in favor with both God and man. The favor of Jesus even grew in the favor of God. How many thinks it might be possible for us to grow in the favor of the Lord? Have I got anybody's attention yet this morning? Are you listening with these ears and these ears? How many would like for God to do something for you that you didn't even ask for? I want to tell you something. Darlene and I are so blessed. It almost sounds like bragging, and so I'm not going to share how blessed we are. But God, there's been, maybe I should share some of the things God's done. Because the favor of God is so, it's nothing I ask for. You know what? Years ago, I don't know if you remember this, Luke, or not. Are you with me? Okay. Give me your eyeballs. Let me see you. Do you remember when that dune buggy was given to me? There was a man that came to this church. He drove a Rolls Royce. Y'all remember that? It was a white Rolls Royce. He drove to church. The steering wheel was on the other side of the... Now, he wasn't a rich guy. In fact, he started the Remax agency here in Farmington, the real estate agency. But one day I was over visiting with him, and he said, I got something I want to give you. And I thought, well, maybe a pocket knife or something like that. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful for whatever, you know, and I'm not expecting anything. But everybody say the favor of God. He took me out to the barn or the shed or the garage, and he opened up the door, and there was this beautiful fixed-up dune buggy. I mean, it was a dune buggy. I drove that. I took that out to number nine. I took it out to the park, St. Joe Park, and I drove that thing around there. I fell off that thing so many times. I flipped that thing so many times. But I'm telling you what, that was just the favor. I didn't ask for a dune buggy. Are you with me today? But I had fun. And then I gave it away to somebody else after I fixed it. Don't give away junk. Listen, here's a principle. You give away junk, you're going to get junk. Gary, how long was that boat I gave away? No, it's longer than that. It's a little bit longer than that. Yeah, the one you had. Was it 17 and a half? Had 150, 135, some kind of motor on the back of it. It was a tri-hull walk-through. It was in good shape. The only problem was the throttle was messing up, so I took it to the boat place. No, it wasn't. But I didn't want to give away junk. So I took it up there and spent $200 or $300 getting the throttle fixed on it, and I gave it away. Who did I give that to? I gave it to my brother. Yeah. I gave it to my brother. I said, I want to bless you. Listen, church, the favor of God, I just don't understand. How did I get a dune buggy? How did I get a boat? How did I get a motorcycle? How is it that all this stuff comes to Darlene and I? Well, it's because you're so popular, good-looking, skinny, and a good preacher, and all. No! The favor of God is for you, all of us, all of us. Just recently, I mean, and I hate to say this because it sounds so self. Hey, good. There's no shame in favor. I like that. Say that with me. There's no shame in favor. Just recently, I mean within the last 30 days, I think it was, somebody gave me another boat with a 70-horse motor, it's got the windshield on the front. It's a V-bottom boat. It's in the gym right now if you want to go see it. Listen, said, I just want to sign the title over to you. Now listen, I didn't ask for that boat, did I? I wasn't even thinking about a boat. I'm 76 years old. I don't need a boat. What's this old man doing out there trying to launch a boat? He don't even know how to roll it up and put it on the trailer. I had to be told where to hook it and all that stuff. But I took my grandson out on the lake and I let him drive that boat and we had a blast. And I'll probably end up giving it to him someday. But listen, I didn't ask for that. Is anybody? Now, let me just back up a little bit. Darlene and I are givers. We give. We give two checks almost every Sunday morning. We could give online, but I kind of like walking the aisle. Not to be seen, but to come up here and worship God and praise God, because when it's taken out of my check or if the bank takes it or if I do it online, I don't get a chance to just take a moment and worship God and praise God. So I get to do that. Besides, that's nobody's business. But I just like to do it that way, right? And so listen. You don't expect the blessings and the favor of God if you can't be generous. I don't know how to say this without sounding... Okay, I won't say it. Thank you, Lord. Honey, I'll tell you later, and you'll be glad I didn't say it. Oh, no. Now, the blessings of the Lord are determined by the obedience of other people. Listen closely. I said it a while ago. The favor of the Lord is determined by God. The blessings of the Lord is determined by people. Let me explain. If God lays on your heart to give me $1,000 this morning, you better be obedient. But if he lays it on your heart and you don't do it, how many knows I don't receive the blessing? If we don't do what we feel in our heart to do, then we're going to cheat somebody out of a blessing. But you can't cheat me out of the favor of God, honey. You can't cheat me out of the favor of God. You can't cheat me out of the favor of God. You may stop the blessings of God from time to time. And I know this morning we had to make a little appeal, but and that's embarrassing to do that. But every once in a while we have to do that. Because you know, this ministry is dependent upon people's giving. It's not, you know, we don't sell product to keep the church open. My goodness, where am I at? I'm on page 7 of 17. Thank you. I'll see if you stay with me, Brother New Orleans. How do we get? Oh, this is where I wanted to go. How do we get the favor of God? I'm going to give you three ways this morning to get the favor of God. Now, I've preached on the favor of God many, many times. In fact, I think about 2018 I had preached it here at Solid Rock. But this is a whole different side of the favor of God, and I want to share some things with you. Blessings can be hindered, but favor comes directly from the throne of God. When you've got the favor of God on your life, hell can't stop God from being good to you. Dwayne, God's been good to you. Dwayne is one of the most generous guys in this church, one of the most giving guys in this church. Do you know he cuts my yard every week? But do you know this? If he's on vacation and can't cut my yard, he pays somebody else to cut my yard. Now, can you believe that? Let me know how much I owe you after church, because that's not your place to do that. But he, huh? But he's... a thousand. Hey, we need audience mics, Nick. We need some audience mics so the people online can listen to what's going on out here. They're going to say, that's a crazy bunch over there. But you are a good listener. How to get the favor of God? Number one, I'm going to tell you this. Number one, it's a priority problem. It's a priority problem because God's not first in our life. But when God is first in our life, that is the very first step towards receiving the favor of God. When God's first in your finances, he's first in your time, he's first in your thoughts, he's first in your morning, he's first in everything you do, I'm telling you, that is the first step to receiving the favor of the Lord. Helping anybody today? You want a scripture? Seek first the kingdom of God. First, not second, not third, not fourth. Seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be given to you from the Lord. You can sit on your $1,000, and you can take it to the bank and let your interest build up. But if God told you to give it to me, it'll go further than if you put it in the bank. Good measure. Okay, now I know. Listen, those of you out there watching me right now, you're going to say, oh, he's just preaching that for $1,000. No, if anybody does give me $1,000, I will immediately put it into the church. Okay, so I'm not there. I'm not expecting that. Why can we not get the favor of God in our life? Because he, throw it up there, priority, he is not first in our lives. He's got to be number one. Shout number one. He doesn't want to be a part of your life. He wants to be in your life. He doesn't want the living room or the hallway or the bedroom. Most people crowd him into the closet. God doesn't want the closet of your life. He wants the whole house. He wants all of you. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we belong to him. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. I'm doing good preaching today. Whew, I need an organ up here. I'll tell you what, if this were a black church, we'd be shouting all over, wouldn't we? Where's Arletty when we need him? You see, what happens is we submit to our own desires and put God's requirements and God's law and God's word second, third, or fourth. Amen? So here's a question I want to ask you this morning. When something comes your way that looks good, maybe it's a raise, Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new location. Maybe it's whatever. Just whatever you want to say it is. You need to ask yourself, here we go now. Listen to this. Is this going to diminish my relationship with God, or is this going to develop my relationship with God? Is this offer, this that's on the table, this that's before me, is it going to increase or decrease my relationship with God? I want to tell you something. If there's a slight of diminish, I'm not taking it. I'm not going there. If there's a little bit of diminish there, listen, there are people that get job offers all the time. Oh, you're gonna make an extra $10,000 a year. You just have to move to Arizona. You know what? You need to pray about that, because it's not all about the money. It's not all about the job. Well, our company is expanding, and we're going to open up a new office in Nashville. And if you will take this Nashville job, we'll pay all your expenses, your moving expenses. Yeah, but listen, are you going to take those kids out of a church that they don't want to miss, that they want to be at every Sunday, just because you got a raise? Come on. There's been kiddos that left this church because mom and dad took them out, and they cried and cried and cried. Why can't they come to Solid Rock? Did you understand that? Is it going to diminish your relationship? What about your children's relationship with God? This thing keeps dying on me. I don't know what's going on, honey. Everybody say, God's got to be number one in my life. I've seen young men screw up their lives because they fell in love with some floozy. Come on. Am I preaching this morning? They didn't even ask God about it. They just Google-eyed. Oh, did you see her lips? Did you see her hips? Lipstick, I'm sorry. Did you see her lipstick? Did you see her hair? She got a figure like a Coke bottle. Well, it may be a Coke bottle right now, but I'm telling you what, it'll be a 2 liter before you know it. I'm so in love with that Coke bottle. What are you going to do when she's a 3 liter? Lord, help me, Jesus. Hope you're thirsty. Oh, that guy. You know, young people, they look at the outward appearance. They don't even say, is this going to value my relationship with God, or is it going to diminish my relationship with God? Young people fall in this trap, and I hope our youth pastors listen to this, because we need to teach our kids there's more than what you see on the outside. Some of these girls look at these guys, and I've watched some television shows where a guy will take his shirt off and start chopping wood, and somebody in the background's watching him like, "Woo, look at that six-pack." Listen, there's more to life than a six-pack. It's going to become a case. You're right. It'll eventually become a case. Did you see, her pretty white teeth? They are so pretty. What are you going to do when she takes them out and puts them in the cup at nighttime? Listen, honey, life changes things. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's a new job, a new girlfriend, or a new boyfriend. Ask yourself, number one, if I want to have the favor of God, I've got to keep God first in my life. Amen. Woo! Somebody shout it again. Amen. If it pulls you away from God. I told, I don't know if I told Nick or somebody, I don't know. Can I say about what you guys one Sunday, or last week, Friday, Thursday, Nora won a camping trailer. Now, I don't want to say too much, But because of her special needs, there was a Camping World up in Wentzville gave her a brand new, what size? 21-foot camper. Does it have air conditioning? Nice shower. Gave it to Nora Grace. And here's what I said. Well, I just wonder now. Luke and Sarah are going to start missing every Sunday because they got a camper. Oh, I'm sorry. Nick and Sarah. Luke and Sarah ain't going anywhere. Oh, God, help me. I am messing this message up royally. God blesses you with a fifth wheel or a motorhome, an RV, and all of a sudden you can't come to church anymore. You fell for that trap. Gary Doss fell for that trap. He got out of church. He'll tell you with his own mouth. It happens. It's not going to happen to that couple. Amen? Everybody say favor of God. Anything that diminishes. Okay, number two. Let's get to number two. Number one, seek first the kingdom of God. Number two, speak favor. Speak it out loud. Remember a while ago when I started, I said, decree it with your mouth. Say it with your mouth. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I will say of the Lord, whatsoever I declare shall be established. Speak it. Speak the favor into your heart and into your mind. You know, we're speaking way too much other junk into our lives. Listen, here's what I wrote down. This is the most antidepressant society we've ever lived in. I better read. We are the most over-medicated. Anxiety disorders, panic disorders. OCD, amen. PTSD, germaphobe. We live in the most disorder. There's more disorders than there are names. Now I've got every once in a while OCD comes upon me. I'll go to Walmart, and I might be looking at the Pringles, and if one of the Pringle boxes doesn't match the rest of them, I'll move it over to where it's supposed to be. That's just the way I am. I'll move it over and put it in the right stack. I don't even get paid for it. It's just something in me wants to do that. Anybody else like that? Let me see. Oh yeah, it may not be potato chips, but it could be something else. So Darlene says, honey, you need medication. People are on antidepressants. Teenagers are anxious. Adults are anxious. Even the dogs are anxious. I have an anxious dog. And you know what I do? I give him an antidepressant. What is it? A sleeping pill? Calm me down pills. Calm me down pill. That's what they are. Calm me down pills. Somewhere there's a golden retriever taking prescription meds because he can't handle the pressure of being called a good boy 32 times a day. The wolf's descendants need emotional support because the Amazon delivered a package unexpectedly and the dog goes nuts. The dogs have anxiety. Cat's the only one that doesn't have anxiety because they're the ones that cause the anxiety, right? Give me an amen, somebody. Do you want me to get back to preaching? Here, listen, I wrote this down. At this rate, we're one generation from emotional support squirrels needing counseling because winter came too fast. But we have become so negative. We're negative about everything. Sometimes I'm a negative Nilly. My wife, I've never seen a negative word come out. I've never heard a negative word. But she can sure tell me, honey, that's negative. And she's helping me get straightened out because I do that. I fall into that trap. I fall back into that. That's an old school thing that I was raised with. Some of you got some of those too, don't you? Fall back, right? We fall back into those old ways. And I thank God for my wife that helps me. You say, oh, she's just ruling your house. No, she's helping me. Thank you. We need to stop letting people dictate what our potential is and where we're going and our ambitions and goals in life are supposed to be. I've listened to people, and I told you a while ago, I've listened to people that said, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. Prophetic words from a friend that I had confidence in, that gave prophetic words all the time, but the prophetic word that he gave to us was, shut the church down and get out of there because you're going bankrupt. One guy said, now what you going to do because your spring has dried up? In other words, his giving is going somewhere else. We're going to continue to have church. We're going to continue to have church. Thank you. To God be the glory. I want you to understand that man, there's potential on the inside of you, and nobody has any business telling you that you can never make it or you'll never arrive. My Bible says no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Proverbs 3 and 4 says, are you still with me? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tables of your heart. Then you will find favor with God and people. Jeremiah 33 and 3. You ready for this one? Ask me, and I will tell you things that you don't know and can't find out on your own. Stop listening to people tell you you'll never make it. You'll never have a new car. You're always gonna live in that old house. Where's Peggy? Is she around here somewhere? That old house you used to live in? Look what the Lord hath done. A tree came by one night and decided it wanted to fall on the house, and she got a brand new house out of it. What was meant for evil, and it did distress you for a while. But look back now. Look what a blessing. Some of you got hail damage. This guy's thanking God for the hail damage. And this guy's thanking God he got a new car out of the hail damage. And you got a new roof. Praise God. You're going to get a new roof. Gary's house was leaking water, and they had to, I don't know what they did, but they're going to get it fixed. Everybody say this, I need the favor of God. Say this with me, I speak the favor of God on my life. And Sister Tiffany said it so well a while ago, you don't have to apologize, but listen, people will get jealous when favor begins to fall on you. And I want to be the first one to tell you that it's not for preachers only. If it were, it wouldn't be fair. And I know favor's not fair, but I'm telling you, it's not just for preachers. Don't give up on your dreams. Little 10-year-old black boy went to school one day. I'll give you his name in a minute. Teacher said, I want you to write on a piece of paper what you want to do when you grow up. This little boy was a stutterer, stuttered real bad. So all the kids took the piece of paper, wrote what they wanted to be when they grew up, and then the teacher said, now I want you to stand up, and I want you to read in front of everybody. Tell the class what you want to be when you grow up. One little boy said, I want to be a doctor. Another one said, I want to be a fireman. Another one said, I want to be a nurse. Another one said, well, I want to be an accountant. Everybody was telling what they want to be when they grow up. Do you remember those days? How many here wanted to be a policeman? Nobody? One? How many wanted to be a fireman? That's the bit. Nobody? Oh, it's a weird bunch. Okay. So everybody began telling what they wanted to be when they grew up, and they got to this little black boy that was a stutterer. Teacher said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, I forgive me, I'm not making fun of anybody. I just want you to see he was a stutter. I want to be on TV. I want to be on TV when I grow up. The whole class, listen, 10-year-old boy, the whole class broke out into laughter. You can't even say your name and you want to be on TV?
teacher sent a letter home with the boy to his mother. And she said, you need to talk to your son. He'll never, never be on TV because he can't talk. You need to help him so he won't be discouraged when he gets older. Dad came home. Little boy went upstairs to his bedroom. The dad came home. And the mother talked to his dad about what the teacher had said and the letter that the teacher had written. And the little boy heard him talking downstairs. Your son has his mind made up. He wants to be on TV and he can't even say his name. Father went up to his room. He said, son, what did you put on that piece of paper that you gave to the teacher? He said, I want, and you know the rest of the story. I want to be on TV. He said, do you really want to be on TV, son? He said, yes, I do. I want to be on TV. Here's what Dad said. Okay, son, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that note. I want you to put it in the top drawer of your dresser. And every day when you get up to go to school, I want you to pull that note out, and I want you to read it out loud. I want to be on TV. I want to be on TV. I want to be on TV. Son, read it every day. Here's the picture. I don't care where you go. Anywhere you go, you'll find Steve Harvey on TV. It may be a game show. It may be a talk show. No matter where you go, Steve Harvey is on TV 7 days a week. And you know one of the... We may have to quit. My iPad just went down. You know one of the interesting things that Steve Harvey did after he got on TV and he became a celebrity, he sent that school teacher a brand new flat screen TV every Christmas. Every Christmas. In your face, right? Stop saying I can't ever get there. Stop saying I'll never do it. Stop saying it's not for me. I think I better have the worship team come up or we'll be here all day. Stop saying I can never take a nice vacation. Stop that. You say, well, we're just being real. Well, you will be real. I mean, that's as far as you'll ever get. Amen? Let me remind you of a scripture that says in Ephesians 3 and 20. You all want to stand with me? You've been sitting for a while. Why don't you stand up? Look at this scripture. Now, unto him who is able to do exceedingly more than we can all ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us. He is able to do exceeding abundantly more, Solomon, than you can ask or think. Did you get anything out of this? Do you realize that you've got potential? There's something inside you. You're not going to be a drunkard all your life. You're not going to be on drugs all your life. If you're listening to me right now and you're overhung with a drunk from last night, listen, it's time to rise up and see there's more potential in you than that. It's called grace. Grace. Here's the thought. Everywhere you see the word grace in the New Testament, you can insert the word favor. Check it out. Grace and favor are synonymous. And when Paul, I'm going to skip all that. Paul begins every book that he wrote with divine favor be upon you. But he also ended every book that he wrote, may divine favor be upon you. If he said it, how many thinks it might be possible? Look what 1 Peter, who taught 1 Peter? Was that you, Tyler? Let's see if I can find that here. 1 Peter 1. Grace, favor, be unto you. grace and favor be unto you, and peace be multiplied. 2 Peter 1, 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. I have endeavored to give you the knowledge of God today so that the favor of God would be increased in our lives. Did you receive? Did you receive? Can I encourage you again? And I've told you this before, I'll repeat it again. Every time you see the favor of God happen in your life, stop what you're doing and say, that was the favor of God. How many remembers hearing me say that? I've said it before. Whenever the favor, as soon as I got that phone call and said, I'm going to give you a boat, I didn't know what to expect. I thought, I can't afford to fix up a boat. I don't have that kind of money laying around to fix up a boat. This boat was in mint condition, isn't it, Alex? It's in mint condition. It's been garaged. It's been protected. It's been cleaned. It's in mint condition. But as soon as I got that call, you know what I did? I hung up the phone and I said, that is the favor of the Lord. That's the favor of the Lord. How many of you are going to come to me now and ask to borrow my boat? That's why I didn't want to say anything. No. Just say this with me. I am highly favored. I walk in the grace of God. I'm walking out of here today declaring the favor of God on my life. I want to close with this illustration, and the worship team is going to lead us. Two little boys were standing at a train station, 1872. Dirty faces, torn clothing. The train pulled up. The conductor got out. Mother was standing there with those two boys, and the conductor said, may I help you, ma'am? She said, I'm sending my two boys to an orphanage. Their daddy died in the military, and I don't have any money to raise them, so I'm sending them off to an orphanage. It was the military Texas orphanage, Texas military or something like that. Can't get the exact name of it. And she said, but I don't even have enough money to put them on the train, much less to feed them. You know what that train conductor did? Listen, he never saw those boys before. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do, ma'am. I'll pay their fare. I'll put them on this train, and I will personally take them to that orphanage myself. It won't cost you a dime. To this day, nobody knows the name of that conductor. We can't find it. We can't find the name of that train conductor. But that little boy grew up in an orphanage, and they found out that he wasn't very good in school, but he was fast as lightning with his feet. He could run. He could run. And he became a baseball player. He played for the Philadelphia Phillies. He played for Chicago. He played for, I've got another one written down here. He played Chicago White Sox, Pittsburgh Alleghenies, and the Philadelphia Phillies. He went on to be a star hitter, but was one of the fastest players in baseball. In 1888, he stole 50 bases and was known for covering tremendous ground in the outfield. One day he was in Chicago and he was walking down the street and he walked by the Pacific Mission Garden. And he heard them singing this song. I had them to put a picture up there, but then I told them to take it down because we wouldn't be able to see it very well. But it was a song that they were singing, Where is my wandering boy? Where is my wandering boy? The choir was singing that when he walked by. That multi-million-dollar baseball player threw down his glove. Not literally, but dropped his glove. And said to his friends that were with him, boys, I'm parting my ways with you today. I'm going to Jesus. He walked into that Pacific Garden mission and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Got on his knees and got saved. This man went on to become a preacher. And listen, this will blow your mind. Over 100 million people came to Jesus because of Billy Sunday. Because of Billy Sunday. the orphanage boy that nobody knew, that said, you know what? God's got greater things in me than being a world-class base stealer or a world-class baseball hitter or a name or millions of dollars. God's got something better for me. Became a preacher, traveled all over the United States. People in America, he has spoke to hundreds of millions and millions and millions of people in his preaching. In fact, his preaching was kind of comedic because he'd act like a baseball player when he was, almost like a boxer or something. When he was very dramatic when he preached, but people came to Jesus because Billy Sunday said, "There's something greater in me." I said that to say this. How would you like to have been the conductor that paid that little boy's ticket, took him to the orphanage? He's the one responsible for that. One act of kindness. Nobody on earth knows this conductor's name, but I guarantee you Almighty God in heaven will never forget that conductor's name who took Billy Sunday's needs and turned it around. Did I give you two reasons to get the favor of God? I didn't give you the third one. Let me give you number three real quick. You're still standing, right? Number three. Let's learn to shout over what He's already done. Instead of waiting for Him to do something, let's learn to shout and praise Him before we ever see the manifestation of what we're believing for. Amen. Somebody say shout. Shout. Some of you don't like that word. I think I need to teach on shouting sometime. We need to. You shout at your kids sometimes. You shout at the driver that pulled out in front of you. But we need to learn to shout for what He's already done.
Come on.
Now, I shared with the prayer group Tuesday morning, or was it Saturday morning? Saturday morning. I shared with the prayer group Saturday morning. Thank God for what He's already done and stop allowing yourself to complain over what you don't have and start thanking Him for what you do have. Is that okay? Will this preach in New Orleans? Okay, okay. Praise God. I want you to be honest with me this morning. I want you to be totally honest with me this morning. How many in this house standing here today slept under a roof last night? Let me see your hand. Now look around. Look around. You slept under a roof. Do you know what? We have a reason to praise the Lord. I said, we got a reason to praise the Lord. Have you thought about how blessed you are? Because the UN Habitat says 1.5 billion people in the world do not have a roof over their head. Did you hear me? 1.5 billion. Did anybody drive to church today? Let me see. You drove or rode? You drove or rode. Every hand should be going up because I didn't see anybody walking. Did you bring your bicycle today? You drove? Listen, if you came to church in an automobile, do you know that only 12% of the world's population has an automobile? Does that not blow your mind? When I looked this up, it blew my mind. Trent, 12% of the world's population has automobiles. How many is going to go out to eat after lunch or after church today? You're going to either go home and eat, or you're going to go to a restaurant and eat, or you're going to find roadkill. How many is going to eat something on the way home today or today? You're going to eat something before the day's over with, right? Did you know when you sit down at that table, 673 million people will go all day today with nothing to eat? Do you think we could praise God for what we have instead of waiting for Him to do something else? Can I go on? How many of you know somebody that loves you? Maybe a mom or a dad or a grandparent or a child. That somebody really loves you, right? Well, I'm preaching here today. 4.4 billion people in the world will feel like nobody loves them. Now, if my calculations are right or my memory's right, there's only 8 billion people in the world. Half of them feel like nobody cares. Do you know why people want to come to a church like this? Because you make them feel loved and wanted and cared for. Do you know why? If you will invite somebody to church, the percentage of them coming with you is the highest percentage you'll ever get any other way through advertisement, through media or anything else. The best way is a one-on-one invitation because people want to feel loved. They want to feel wanted and needed. This year, 7,000 children, this blew my mind, 7,000 children will be abandoned by their parents and turned out to live on the streets of America. This year, 26% of all teens in America live in depression. 1 out of 4 adults experience anxiety on a weekly basis. With all that being said, let's try this one more time. How many could raise your hand and say, God's been good to me? God's been good to us. Put your hands together. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the roof over my head. Is it equivalent to Donald J. Trump's house in Mar-a-Lago? No, not even close. But it's a roof over my head. I'm thankful for the clothes that I've outgrown because I get to give them all away. I'm thankful for the clothes that I have. I'm thankful for the automobiles. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the lights. I'm thankful for the electricity. I'm thankful for the air conditioning. I just thank God. We've got so much to be thankful for. You got a car on the parking lot? Thank God. So I'm saying number 3 is the way to get the favor of God. Start praising Him now for what you have and see what He doesn't bring your way, what you don't have. I know that's not proper English. But if God did nothing else, but because of what He's already done, it ought to make you shout to the Lord at the top of your voice. It ought to make you dance a jig, put your hands together, shout unto Him. Listen to this, Psalms 30, verse 5. For His anger is but for a moment. Listen to these last few words. But His favor is for a lifetime. Remember the 23rd Psalms? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Do y'all believe the Bible this morning? I know I've preached about it a little, almost 45 minutes, but do you believe the Bible today, church? Do you believe the Bible, this church? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Let's begin to live the Bible. Let's begin to speak the Bible and let the Bible come to life on the inside of us. Start declaring, the favor of God surrounds me. I did a study when I found out what the national or the World Hunger Organization said. I found out that in America, what I did was I took the amount of people here in this church. I figured 200 people. And here's what I figured out. Of a church of 200 people, the equivalent of that is 1 out of every 11. 1 out of every 11 suffer hunger. What are we doing? What are we doing? What can we do? Father, thank You for Your word this morning. Father, I've tried to declare it to the best of my ability. I tried to be as truthful and without error. I've done the best that You've put in my heart to do. And I believe, God, the people have heard. They've listened. God, there's even been some maturity and some growth in this place today. And so we say, thank you, Father, for your mercy that endures forever. Thank you for your loving kindness that is forever. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, and great is the favor of the Lord upon us. Great is the favor of the Lord upon us. If you were made for more, sing this song this morning. Come on, lift your voice and sing it out loud. 'Cause I was